Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Wellness Wednesday podcast from the Rolf Pancreatic Cancer Foundation. Each of our episodes are recorded from our live events, so if you hear references to slides or visual resources, you could find links to them in the show notes. You can also find the full episodes on our Wellness Wednesday page at rolffoundation.org or watch on Rolf's YouTube channel. We hope that you find today's conversation to be informative, inspiring, and educational. And above all, we hope you feel connected to our community. We are in this fight together. You are not alone.
Hey, Rolf community, Rolf Foundation community. We're excited to have you here on our first Wellness Month, Wellness Wednesday. We're really excited to have Robin Goldberg with us. Robin's been involved actively with the Rolf Foundation community for some time. And Robin is the owner of Robin Goldberg Nutrition and Wellness. And so Robin's going to be offering us nutrition and cooking tips as part of an interactive Q&A to kick off Rolf's Wellness Month. We're really excited about this. She's going to discuss the impact of stress on nutrition and also share with us some foods that can help mitigate stress and any ideas for family meals from her new cookbook, Hidden Veggies. As someone who's got a 5 and a 7-year-old at home and we're sheltering in place, I'm really excited to learn some of those meals that I can make with my kids that are fun, interactive, and help us get through this time. Just a little more background on Robin. She is an experienced nutrition and wellness consultant, and she's created a program that's customized to the needs of each and every one who she works with. So she really focuses on providing education, accountability, and also skills needed to make a lifestyle change that betters the overall nutrition and wellness in the long run. So with that being said, what we want to do is any questions that come up, please put them in the comment section. In a moment, we're going to bring Robin on, and she'll be here to answer any questions. So first, she'll kind of share a little bit with us, again, about that stress on nutrition and kind of foods that can help mitigate. And then we're going to go right into comments. And we're really excited. We've already got some comments that have come in, and we're hoping during this live stream that we'll be able to get some more questions, and Robin will really be able to answer those for you. And so without further ado, I'm going to bring Robin on and introduce her. All right, so Robin, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
So we've shared with the Rolf Foundation community a bit about you and your background, and we're really excited. You know, for the first part, you're kind of give us some tips on stress. We know we're all going through that right now in this time, and then we're gonna open it up for some Q&A. So I'll be hopping in with some questions, but for now, I'm gonna let you take it away. Okay.
Great. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the introduction. That was great. Hi, Rolf community. Really happy to be here, excited to talk to you. As Bob mentioned, I am a nutritionist, have my own business, Robin Goldberg Nutrition and Wellness. We'll talk a little bit about that later, as well as my new cookbook. But I wanted to start out talking a little bit right now about stress. Times right now, as we all know, are very stressful. I know we have stresses about what's going on in the world, stresses about work, stress about our family, how do we manage it all? And so really wanted to sort of talk about how we can help mitigate some of the effects of stress through nutrition. So first, just a little background about stress. Stress is not only a mental challenge, but it's a physical one as well. When stress levels are high in the body, it releases a hormone known as cortisol. So cortisol does a few different things to us. First of all, it increases our appetite and our motivation in general to eat. This is a huge one, as we all know, when we're stressed out, there's a lot of that like mindless eating and stress eating. We all know that's a real thing, stress eating. Cortisol also regulates our sleep cycles, which we all also know is how important it is to get your sleep, to keeping your body functioning. It also manages how our body utilizes carbs, fats, and proteins, and it controls our blood sugar levels. So it is very important to really help manage our stress in order to help our body really react. One other thing to note about stress, as I mentioned earlier, it increases our appetite. So something else about stress is it plays a role in our food preferences. There's been a lot of studies around this, and there's not a lot of like scientific data as to exactly why, but for some reason, it encourages us or increases our desire to crave sugary and processed foods. Unfortunately, sugary and highly processed foods are not good for managing stress because that all increases our blood sugar levels. So if our cortisol is already high and then we're eating these sugary and processed foods, we're really increasing our blood sugar levels a lot. So let's talk about a little bit some foods that we can eat that can help sort of make us still feel good and manage that stress by not having the lasting effects on our body. And again, please at any point feel free to jump in, ask some questions, and Bob can stop me and jump in at any point. So let's talk about some foods that help us mitigate stress. Healthy whole grain and complex carbs. So one thing to note about complex carbs, they are made of glucose, and glucose is our brain's preferred source of fuel. Our brain runs on glucose, so it really jumpstarts our body. So a really great thing is to start your day with some healthy carbs. So some good examples are whole grain breads, brown rice, quinoa, oats, beans, sweet potatoes, beets, apples, bananas, lentils, something like that that can really spark our brain and wake us up and get us going, but also help level out our blood sugar levels. The next things are healthy fats. So foods high in omega-3s have been known to reduce stress and anxiety. They also help boost concentration, they will improve your mood, and they also have, they interact well with the molecules in our brain that help our boost our mood. So some examples of healthy fats high in omega-3s are avocados, fatty fish such as salmon, walnuts, flax seeds, chia seeds. So all of those are really good examples of some healthy fats. Veggies. Veggies have filled with vitamins and minerals and are super important in not only managing stress, but in just helping your body stay in a good place, keeping everything level. One thing to note that I don't know that a lot of people know is that when we're really stressed, our body uses a lot more vitamin C more rapidly. And vitamin C has been known to help manage stress, the physical and the mental effects of stress. So when we're really high, there's been a lot of studies done that for people who are in really high stressful situations who actually have a lot of vitamin C, the effects have been a lot fewer than people who have less vitamin C. So it's really important in really high stressful situations to make sure you're getting enough vitamin C. We all know vitamin C for oranges and citrus fruits. However, some other really great sources of vitamin C are peppers. Bell peppers actually have more vitamin C than oranges. Kale, kiwi, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, even fresh thyme is good sources of vitamin C. So there's a lot of different foods you can eat that have vitamin C if you're not a citrus person. So definitely try to think of different ways you can incorporate that into your diet.
Robin, I wanted to interject there. I think those are some great kind of foods to consider. And this kind of ties with one of the questions that we've gotten, which is, you know, what are some snack foods during the day? A lot of us are working from home, right? And so some of those, can we incorporate, some of those foods into our snacks? What would you recommend in terms of snacking during the day?
Yeah, definitely. That's a great question. And snacking, I know, goes with both ways, but the fact that like when we're stressed out, we just want to mindlessly eat and mindlessly snack. And we're home, or we're home and we're bored and we just want to snack. So some really great options, to have some oranges and pistachios. So the combinations of the vitamin C and the minerals from there, in addition to the vitamins and the minerals from the pistachios, are a great source to help reduce stress. Apples with nut butter. So again, you're getting the fiber and the glucose as well as the protein to help fill you up. Some bell peppers with hummus. Again, the bell peppers, you're getting the vitamin C, and the hummus, you're getting the protein to help sustain you and fill you longer. Guacamole with some veggies or multi-grain tortilla chips. Again, you're getting a lot of that healthy omega-3s from the guacamole and the veggies. If you're going to use some peppers or some carrots, get some good vitamins there. And then also just having some like hard-boiled eggs or some eggs, some good sources of protein that can help keep you full. Just some examples.
Yeah, I think that's great. And in terms of another question we got in that I think would be a good one here, kind of in this snacking and getting to eat healthy, kids, you know, I've got a 5 and a 7-year-old, and getting my 5-year-old to eat anything other than cookies or ice cream, is kind of a challenge. So, kids are home with us all day, all night. We want them to eat healthy, but we're also balancing, work and trying to keep them engaged. So what are some snack foods for kids that'll be healthy that you think they actually would eat?
Yes. So, well, I love that you brought up kids, because that is a great segue to introduce my cookbook. So I have written a cookbook. It's new. It's called Hidden Veggies. Recipes even the pickiest eaters will love. So it's just a little shameless plug. It's out right now, the ebook sales. You can get that through my website, or the hard copy will be available next week. But in here, I have a ton of really healthy, really easy, good recipes for kids. Every single one has some sort of hidden veggie in them, and they are all nutritious and healthy for children. So there's some fun granola bars in here. There's muffins. There's some little protein bites, some brownies. Then there's also the cookies. And then there's also some dinner time stuff. So good things you can make for kids for dinner too. So kind of to help take the stress out of figuring out what to make, or stressing over the fact that your kids aren't eating their veggies or eating healthy. So this book is filled with really great, easy recipes. All the home novice cook can do, and they're great snacks and great meals. So in addition to some of the stuff that I mentioned before, and those snacks that are also great for kids as well, I mean, kids love guacamole, I think, hummus and veggies, all those things are also good for kids, but this book has a lot of really fun, easy snacks, some healthy muffins and stuff like that, that I think kids will really enjoy.
I think that's great. And you said, you mentioned also that, of course, the hard copy will be coming out in a week or so. Yeah, I think you'd say to that. So, you know, this is the kind of time that we need these kind of books that offer us, you know, we're all cooking at home. You know, along those lines, we're cooking from home. What are some ways that we can kind of prepare meals that'll last a couple of days? That's another question that we had someone previously submitted. So maybe talk a bit about that.
Yeah, that's a great question too. So I know, especially for me, I think part of the stress of all of this is trying to like come up with something that we have to cook we're cooking three meals a day at home. And so it's like trying to get creative and trying to make it different meals every single day can definitely be daunting and just adds on to the stress. So some great suggestions I have are making casseroles. They are good for families. They also can keep you through a couple extra days. And try to, you know, to make them a little bit on the healthier side by adding veggies. Use cauliflower rice instead of rice, using spaghetti squash instead of noodles. Actually, I have some really great recipes on my Instagram account. So if anybody wants to follow my Instagram, it's at Robin Goldberg Nutrition. And I put up a lot of good recipes there as well. Another great trick that I love that helps me create something that can last a little bit longer is using like a crock pot or an Instant Pot and just making a bigger serving of something. So you can just, crock pots are so easy, you just throw a bunch of stuff in and leave it alone. So takes away the stress of having to prep and clean and cook and all that. Throw a bunch of stuff in the morning, you have dinner at night, and usually it makes a lot, so you can have dinner for a few nights. So crock pot or Instant Pots are recipes are great as well. And I have a couple of those in my Instagram as well, but people are always welcome to reach out to me for any recipes. I love sharing.
Awesome. What about, you know, we talked about breakfast briefly, but another question we had about breakfast is, you know, what are some breakfasts we can kind of start the day off right that kind of avoid stress? I know that, you know, we hear that breakfast is the most important meal, but then other times I hear, you know, about sort of 16-hour fasting and 8 hours. So, you know, what are your thoughts on breakfast, and when should I eat it? What should I eat?
Yep. Yeah, so it's interesting. I've gotten a lot of questions about the intermittent fasting. And the thing about intermittent fasting, and with any sort of like diet, is it's all individual and it's all what works best for your body. The thing about intermittent fasting is you're still supposed to eat the same amount of food. You're just eating it in a smaller amount of time. And it's really more to help people who don't have a lot of control and who are late night snackers or just eat too much. So that's really more of the intermittent fasting. And if that's someone who, that's something you like, or you're just not a breakfast person, you wake up and you're not hungry, it's okay. You don't have to eat breakfast. Personally, like I think that breakfast is great because like I said, it starts my brain, it wakes me up. That glucose in the morning really starts your body going and starts your brain going. But again, everyone is different. Bodies work differently. So I would never tell everyone you have to eat breakfast or you should not intermittent fast. It's whatever works best for you. But as far as breakfast and some good options, like I mentioned, starting glucose in the morning to really get your brain going and fuel it up. So some oats with some berries and nut butter is a great, that's filled with some good complex carbs and some good protein. So to help fill you up and keep you fuller longer, as well as fiber. Some whole grain toast with either an avocado or some eggs or peanut butter and banana. Again, a good combination of the complex carbs, the protein, and the fiber to wake you up, get your brain going, and to keep you fuller longer. Having some yogurt, like some Greek yogurt with some berries and some nuts or some granola, some healthy low sugar granola is also great. Again, the Greek yogurt has some good protein, and then you put in some berries or banana and some nuts, you're really getting the full combination of the carbs and the protein and the fiber. And then again, some other, you know, option that maybe you haven't thought about is making like a quinoa fruit salad. Again, quinoa is a great source of a complex carbs and a really great source of protein that'll help fill you up and keep you full longer.
Awesome. I wanted to remind everybody too, to keep those questions coming in the comment section. We have one that I wanted to address, which I think is really relevant and timely. We're hearing a lot about meat shortages, you know, some of the issues with some of the processing plants, what's been going on. We've got a question here. Maddie asks, with talks of there being a meat shortage, what are some meatless alternatives that pack a protein punch?
Yeah, that's a great question. I know that is definitely a thought right now with people being a little bit nervous about the meat shortage. There are plenty of meatless options out there. So beans are all a really great source of protein. All any sorts of beans, black beans, kidney beans, all of them. So beans are great. Peanuts and nut butters, always good. You know, then there's the typical, the tofus. Fish is also really good, a lot of protein in fish. Quinoa, like I mentioned before, quinoa has a lot of protein in it. Dairy products have protein, and as well as eggs. So in addition to like beans, other vegetables have protein in them. Broccoli has some protein in it. So really, you don't have to have meat to get a lot of protein. So fill up on beans and nut butters, eggs, cheese, dairy products. Like I mentioned, Greek yogurt are all also excellent sources of protein that are not meat.
I think you mentioned quinoa. I always butcher that word, quinoa, right?
Yeah.
Quinoa. Is all quinoa created equal? That's the question we had. Is it all created equal, or are there different types of quinoa? What would you recommend?
So I know that there is like other or like red quinoa and other quinoa, but it is all the same. It's all equally in the nutritional aspects of it. It is all good for you, all the same. There may be slight differences in some of the different variations, but yes, for the most part, all quinoa is created equal.
That's great. We also have one other question I wanted to address. Ryan had asked earlier. I think this is really important for our community too. Are there any preventative food measures you can take to reduce your chances of getting cancer? Are there really proven facts regarding processed sugars or et cetera that can affect your chances of getting cancer? Maybe address that, Robin.
Yeah, definitely relevant for this Rolf page. And being someone who has been affected by cancer, it is something that I have always looked into and researched. Caveat, I'm not a doctor, but I have done a lot of research on this as well. And ultimately, it boils down to no. I know there's a lot of controversy on whether sweeteners can cause cancer. And honestly, the amount of sweetener you would have to consume to give yourself cancer is an obscene amount, and nobody's eating that much. So putting a Splenda in your coffee in the morning is not going to give you cancer. I mean, there's definitely like eating a well-balanced and eating a lot of nutritious foods and getting your vitamins and minerals can help with, you know, the antioxidants, can help with your immune system, can help build up your bodies, but like there's nothing that is you can really eat or not eat that is going to prevent you from getting cancer, unfortunately. There is a doctor that I follow really closely that touches on this a lot, and I'm happy to, if anybody wants to read more about it, shoot me a message and I'm happy to provide his information.
You mentioned putting things in your coffee. Speaking of coffee, you know, being home, I've heard from people, it's, you know, you just sort of keep drinking coffee. The day doesn't never stops or starts, right? You know, how much coffee is too much? Does it depend on the person? What are your takes on kind of caffeine intake?
Yeah. So, I mean, it really is. I mean, all of that stuff really is an individual thing. So, I mean, it depends on the person, your body type, your tolerance. I mean, there are some studies that say one cup a day is all you need, 1 to 2 cups. And there are some studies that are like, oh, the more caffeine, the better, have 5 cups. It really is an individual answer. I mean, for me and everything that I believe throughout all this is everything in moderation. So I do not believe that anyone should have 10 cups of coffee. I'm more of a 1 to 2 cups a day, just because I believe all of it, anything you consume should be handled in moderation.
That's good to know. We got another question from Kevin here I wanted to address. So looking at, you know, nuts being higher in fat, what would you suggest a good daily amount would be? Is there one type that's better than the other? Kind of talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So again, that's another thing that's a little bit of a difficult question because it depends on what else you're eating throughout the day. Typically I would say a fourth of a cup of nuts is about as a serving. So I try to stick to about a fourth of a cup. However, if nuts are your source of fats and proteins, then you could have nuts and then also you'd have peanut butter. So it really depends on what else you're having, but I would say, you know, about a fourth of a cup of nuts is what you'd want to try to stick with. No, there really isn't one nut that's better than the other. They're all great sources of protein. They all have, you know, different but similar vitamins and minerals. You know, some people are like, oh, almond butter is better than peanut butter. It's not true. They're actually all very good for you. They all are full of the healthy fats, and they're all full of good vitamins and minerals. So you don't need to stick to one or the other. They all have their benefits. So, you know, mix it up and get a pack of a combo of nuts. But yeah, try to stick to about a fourth of a cup.
That's good. So your cookbook, what are your three favorite recipes in it? Maybe give us a glimpse preview.
Oh man, that's such a hard question because I love so many of them. But I recently have been having a lot of people talk about these muffins that are at the beginning. These chocolate zucchini muffins, I don't know. Kind of hard for y'all to see them, but they're really good. I've had a couple people make them multiple times recently. Just easy, throw everything in the blender and cook it up. Put them in muffin tins and cook it up. One of my favorite savory dishes in the book is this chicken curry, which I know sounds weird even for kids, but it's another one that has gotten a lot of rave reviews from people make it. I've had a friend who's made it now like four times for her kid. And I've made it multiple times for myself. It's delicious. A lot of different, you know, interesting, fun ideas like that in the book.
That's awesome. We got another question that came in. Shane says he started drinking tea at night. Could be a good stress reliever, but he's heard a lot of benefits about it. But what kind of tea would you recommend to someone beginning to drink tea? Or what are some of the benefits of tea? Do some types of tea have different benefits?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. And another one of my points about that I don't think I mentioned yet about stress is tea is another really great stress reliever. And a big part of that is the warmth, quality, and feeling when you're drinking tea. So it's not necessarily the type of tea that's in it, but it's just like that feeling of warmth and comfort when we're drinking tea. So that's a great thing to start getting into, a great thing to sort of soothe your body and just sort of like help you relax at night. Trying to stay away if you're someone who gets affected by caffeine, trying to look for low caffeine versions at nighttime. All the teas have different benefits. So, you know, there's green tea that obviously has like the benefits of speeding up your metabolism. I love a turmeric tea, which also helps with digestion and helps like your blood sugar levels. One that's really soothing would be like lavender tea is a really good tea to also help calm the stress, as well as chamomile tea. Chamomile is great for stress relief and really helping calm your body. So all the teas are good. I would say they're all equal. I say the most benefit of it is just the idea of drinking it, and at least as far as stress is concerned. Recommending for beginning tea drinkers, I mean, it sort of depends on your own taste. I have a whole bunch of teas that is like try different ones. I mean, find ones that have just like fun flavors that you like because they all have good benefits to them. They all have soothing qualities to them. So I would just say look for flavors that sound appealing to you. And, you know, maybe you might even need to add like a little bit of honey in there if you, you know, might have to try to sweeten it up a little bit if you're someone who likes that. But yeah, just start trying them all out and see what you really like the most.
So we have a few minutes left. So anybody has some last questions, feel free to share them in the comment section. We can address it. One other question that I had, Robin, you know, you mentioned sort of this customized approach to your nutrition, and wellness plan, which I think makes a great deal of sense because we hear about fads going in and out in terms of dieting. But how do people kind of go about creating a plan for themselves? What are some of the first few steps that you would take with somebody?
Yeah. So, I mean, I like to customize, like I mentioned, I like to customize my plan for each individual person. So it's really going to be based on like, what do you currently do? Are you a breakfast person? Are you a meal person? Are you a snack person? What are your issues? Are they, I snack too much at night, I don't eat a healthy breakfast, or I don't like to cook? So really it's sort of, I like to understand the person first, sort of how you work, how like your benefits are, what your issues are. And then we slowly work together. So change doesn't happen overnight. And I mean, my philosophy is we're gonna learn to have a better relationship with food. So through moderation and balance, and it's slow changes. Because if we want it to last, we can't be on a diet. Because as we all know, diets go up and down, we go on and off them. This is more about changing your relationship with food so that you have a better balance and something that you can that can last you the rest of your life. So we would take small steps and make small changes that sort of ease into your overall routine and help you out. So again, everything very customized to you and what your needs are. So it's hard to say more generalized, but I like to make everything very individual to the person because our bodies and our needs and our desires are all different.
And along those lines, do you recommend people kind of have a food journal? I've heard of those things, or like log with the eater. Do you, you know, you talk about relationship. Do you, you know, does that add stress or does that relieve stress? What, how do people kind of measure their steps in your opinion?
Yeah. So, I like to, when I start with anybody, I find it very beneficial to have a food journal. It's not something that I would ever tell anyone to keep up for the rest of their lives because then that really starts affecting your relationship with food. But in order to sort of have a understand what you're eating, when you're eating, and then going back to the feelings of what you had when you were eating that is really helpful if you start by journaling. It also helps me understand what you're eating, when you're eating it, and all of that so that we can work better together. So at the beginning, when you're starting out, I think it's really important to have a food journal of everything that you're eating. And we probably would keep it going. You know, it depends. Maybe it's only for a week. Maybe it's 2 weeks. Just really to get you sort of becoming more mindful about what you're eating, when you're eating it, and how you're feeling when you ate it. So what was the motivation that you had when you started snacking uncontrollably? And sort of like getting down to the purpose, the reasons behind that, and why you sort of just like, you know, ate an entire pint of ice cream. What was going on then? So it's really starting to try to get you to become more mindful. And again, it's just something in the beginning as we start to gain a better grasp of everything. And then you obviously do not want to keep doing that forever, but it's a good way to start.
Yeah, I mean, now more than ever, this is the time to kind of evaluate your habits. And, you know, we've got this sort of potentially stressful environment, but again, some great outcomes can come as you build a relationship with food and take it step by step, it sounds like. And we're grateful for people like you that can guide us along that journey and make food something that should be enjoyed. It's an essential part of life.
Agreed. It's fun.
I really do appreciate all you've shared with us, the insights. Maybe one last time, kind of tell us where we can get Hidden Veggies if we don't already have it, and then kind of where people can follow you or get in touch with you.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. Yes. So the book again, Hidden Veggies. Right now, you can get the digital copy online on my website, which is robingoldbergnutrition.com. You'll be able to find the link there to get the digital version. The hard copy version will be available next week through Amazon. So I will be posting a lot about that with the link on where you can find that. Follow me on social media. My Instagram and Facebook is at Robin Goldberg Nutrition. I also post a lot of recipes constantly, dinner stuff, baked goods. So definitely follow me on Instagram. And that's also where I will keep up posting the information about where you can get the hard copy of the cookbook next week when it's available online. So again, that's at Robin Goldberg Nutrition. And then my website is robingoldbergnutrition.com.
Awesome. Robin, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing this with our community. And yeah. I just want to tell everybody streaming that this will be afterward. You can obviously view it on our timeline and let everybody know that we'll be continuing Wellness Wednesday weekly here for the next 4 weeks. And next week we'll have a really fun singing and dancing time with Bubbles Academy at 9 a.m. So if you got little ones, and hey, if you're an adult and still want to sing and dance, feel free to join us. Robin, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much. We'll be sure to share that link with Hidden Veggies after this too.
Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And feel free to leave a 5-star review because it helps people find us. Ralph Pancreatic Cancer Foundation provides personal support to those affected by pancreatic cancer through tailored resources, connections in education, and funding for early detection research. To learn more about Ralph Foundation, please visit us at ralphfoundation.org or call 773-989-1108. We'll see you next time.